Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say a big thank you for taking time out of your busy life today to join me on my podcast. Today is Monday, February 12th, 2024. The greatest need and the greatest heart cry of the human race is a heart cry to be connected with the God of the universe. If you even had a couple of minutes last night to look at the Super Bowl and to look at what attracts people, what brings people together, it's throwing this leather ball around and scoring touchdowns, but that's a craving of people, is sports. And I love sports too. But I was thinking, as I was at work and had a couple of minutes to look at the crowd of people, what is that connection? What is that human heart cry? But it's for connection with something that makes us happy, that motivates us. And of course, the big attraction last night was the Super Bowl. But there is a Super Bowl in heaven. There is a heart cry that people have with the living God, and there is nothing in this planet or on this planet that can satisfy us. And that's exactly what the Word of God says in Psalms 73, verses 25 through 26. The psalmist cries out, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The question is asked, who have I in heaven but you? And the response is, and earth has nothing I desire beside you. That longing, that desire is ultimately fulfilled in who God is. And this morning on the cross in the desert, I'm going to pull us back away from the trauma of the things that happens in the Middle East, which is my passion and my heart to do here. But sometimes when I report on these topics of the way people are treated in Iran, the way women are treated, sometimes it overwhelms us. And we have to pull back and reconnect with the only one in heaven, the only desire that our heart has, and that is connecting with the living God. And so this morning, as a faithful listener to The Cross in the Desert, I want to take us in to the Word of God and to minister to us this morning with the beautiful declarations of Jesus that set us free. When Jesus spoke, the crowds were drawn, not just by the miracles, but by his compassion and the authority of how he spoke. He spoke with one having authority, as the scripture says, and not like the Pharisees and the scribes. What was it that Jesus declared? Those beautiful declarations of Jesus, what were they that drew people's hearts? What was the compassion and longing that they had? They saw it in the words, the life-transforming words of Jesus. Now, the Bible talks an awful lot about tears. And when we are broken inside, when we're devastated inside, we are just overwhelmed with tears. Psalm 56 is a beautiful declaration of something that God does in our brokenness and with our tears. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Our heartaches, our pains, our sorrows matter infinitely to God. So much so that the New Living Translation in Psalm 56, verse 8 says, you keep track of those sorrows, God. You actually collect all my tears in your bottle. In other words, God cares about our tears. At the tomb of Lazarus, his very best friend, the Bible says in two words, Jesus wept. Tears are very vital to God. And in contrast to what God says in Psalm 56, Jesus reaching out to us in our pain and in our sorrow and in our brokenness says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. During his time, his earthly ministry, Jesus reached out to the broken masses of people who were burdened by the teachings of the scribes and Pharisees. The religious leaders of that day put a heavy yoke upon them about obedience to their adding an interpretation of God's law. And they were like sheep without a shepherd, the scripture says. And Jesus, recognizing their weariness, recognizing their brokenness and the burden that they had been bearing because of the religious false teachings of the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus invited them to exchange that burden of religiosity for his yoke. It says, of his teaching, my yoke is easy to bear. There was a yoke put upon an oxen that the person in the time of Jesus would go out into the field and would put this yoke upon an oxen. But Jesus says, this yoke I'm giving to you is a yoke not of a burden, not of an oppressive thing, but it is an easy yoke. He invites you this morning. If you're broken and God sees your tears, Jesus says, come to me. He's inviting you. If you are weary and if you're carrying burdens, no matter what that burden is, Jesus invites you to come and to cast that burden down at his feet. He says, I will give you rest, not just physical rest, but an exchange for that burden to a spiritual rest, to a salvation. To a salvation that will meet every one of your deepest needs. He says, exchange that religious oppressive burden and take my yoke upon you. And that yoke will teach you. Because Jesus says, I'm humble and gentle at heart. This is what characterizes who Jesus is. His compassion, his humility, his longing to connect with us. I am humble and gentle at heart. And he promises, when you come to me, you will find rest for your souls. And when you come to Christ, it is a promise that he will meet you at your deepest need. As I mentioned to you, that heart cry, that passion of broken humanity is to connect with the God of the universe. And when you look in the Old Testament Psalms, which are so beautiful, they're an example of David and many others, but David, who was the primary author, talked about the agony and the hurt in my life and sometimes the lament over his brokenness. He wanted so much to connect with God. In Psalm 63, the psalmist says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." The human heart cry is connection with God. This earnestly seeking, this fainting, my soul is fainting for you. Imagine being in a desert, the hot, burdensome sun, the oppression of heat, and your body is just crying out for relief. My soul thirsts for you. In the same way, when we are spiritually dry, when we have failed to connect with God, there is a thirst. There is a longing. And our existence is like a dry and weary land where there is no water. And that's why when you hear the beautiful life-transforming words of Jesus, suddenly you come alive. Jesus said to the multitudes who were following him because of the miracles they saw, because of the bread that filled their physical situation, he said, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." Now, Jesus is speaking in a metaphorical sense, but think of the psalmist who is crying out, "My soul longs for you. My soul thirsts for you. Oh, God, God, you are my God." Jesus says, "I am what will satisfy that longing. I am what will satisfy that thirst. I am the bread of life." And he talked about how the children of Israel were satisfied and sustained by manna in their desert wanderings. And Jesus is saying, "I am that God manifested in the flesh. I am the one that can give you the true manna. I will sustain you." Think of what you love in the way of eating food. My food is spaghetti. I'm telling you, I have taste buds for that. In contrast to what your stomach longs for, Jesus says, "I am that bread of life that will sustain you. The one who comes to me won't be hungry anymore." Why? He and she has looked for everything in the world to satisfy themselves. But if you come to me, I am that bread of life, and you won't go away hungry. If you believe in me, you will never thirst again. Jesus promises to satisfy your spiritual hunger and your thirst. He is that bread of life. He is that bread of life that came down from heaven to bring total and complete satisfaction to your spiritual longing. Many times in life when we face trials and circumstances, it's so oppressive. It's like the darkness is surrounding us and we can't seem to find the light. The circumstances, the trials of our life is choking out the truth. And it seems like when things get so difficult, it's like darkness has swallowed us up. Well, I love what it says in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. As Jesus is born and coming into the world, the Bible says in John 1:5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When satanic darkness seems to overwhelm you and swallow you up, there is a light that shatters the darkness. And John said, or Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you're overwhelmed darkness, Jesus says, I am the light that has come into the world that the darkness can't overcome. And the one who attaches himself to me, the one who follows me, will not walk in darkness. He will walk in truth. You know, John uses this contrast of light and darkness in the gospel to illustrate truth versus false teaching and error, or to illustrate satanic darkness that tries to swallow us up. And Jesus is the light that dispels all darkness. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he comes into the world to pull back the curtain for our eyes to see his glory, his truth radiating before us. But if you are someone that is oppressed, the things you have been taught, perhaps as a child, and you seemingly cannot break free from the darkness of false teachings and the things that have overwhelmed you, Jesus says, if you look to me, I am the light of the world, and the one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. The Bible talks about God as light, God as truth, and he overcomes the darkness of sin, the darkness of captivity, the darkness of evil, because he is the true light that lights the world. If you remember back a few years ago, and many of us would like to not remember, we were overwhelmed with a virus that was killing millions of people. And I know I wrote a book during this time of how God used that evil time to change and upend the church and how we do ministry. That we were showing the world as Christians that we're not confined to the walls of a church. When the government says you can't meet, well, they can't stop the church. Jesus says very clearly that the gates of hell will not overcome it. And so we were changed by this virus. And during that virus, there was an angst cry of the heart, a fear of death, a fear of dying for many people, a fear of getting that virus. But I want to talk to us this morning in our conclusion, those life-transforming words of Jesus that overcomes the fear of death. If you look back in the Old Testament, Job, who went through trials unimaginable, who lost his family, his health, his friends, he said, even though you slay me, God, I will still trust you. And in Job chapter 19, he makes an emphatic statement. Yet as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, he will take his stand on the earth, even after my skin is destroyed. Yet from my flesh, I will see God. Job had a promise that even in death, even when the worms were eating his flesh, that he had a hope and a trust that he will see God again. And that brings us to the emphatic declaration of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, when Martha and Mary were just overcome with sadness over the death of Lazarus. Jesus said to her, that is to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? My question is, do you have a hope? And do you have a confident trust that when you leave this earthly existence, and as Job says, when my skin falls off, in my flesh I will see God. Do you have that absolute certainty of coming face to face with Jesus after you die? You know, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And so many of people, humanity is looking to science for their hope and trust, for their existence, for the answers to life. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus says very clearly that all of death bows before him. When he met the Apostle John and John had the vision on the island of Patmos, Jesus says, don't be afraid, John. I am the first and the last. I was once was dead and now I'm alive and I have the keys of death and Hades. All of death, all of the darkness of death must bow at the feet of Jesus because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you have eternal life is when we put our hope and faith in him and him alone. He who hears my word, Jesus says in John 5:24, and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and will not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Where is your hope today? Where is your trust today? Jesus, when he made this statement, showed the world and those watching his glory. He commanded the stone to be rolled aside from the tomb of Lazarus. And in one emphatic pronouncement, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus walked out of that tomb alive. He has conquered death, hell, and Satan. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And one day he will call us physically, our physical body, out of the grave to reunite it with our spiritual nature because he is the resurrection and the life. He is the only hope of all humanity. He is the hope that saves the world. And so again this morning, I ask you, where is your hope? Let us take this time right now to celebrate all that we learned about the beautiful teachings of who Jesus is and the things that he said. This is Bethel Music. Worship music of Bethel Music and Holy Forever. This morning, it is my deepest prayer that you connected with God through these beautiful declarations of Jesus that set us free. It's the words of Jesus. It's those declarations that inspire hope, that give us confidence, that draw us into the presence of God. And I hope that you will make this podcast your Bible study today, your quiet time today, and just go over these pronouncements. There's many more. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me. And so there are many more. But this morning, I hope that you have connected with the living God of the universe and satisfied that heart longing, that truth that you're seeking for, because it's right there. It's in the words of Jesus, who spoke with authority, the Bible says, unlike the scribes and Pharisees. I want you to have a great rest of the week. And as always, join me again on Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of The Cross in the Desert. Stay safe. Be inspired. Stay in prayer. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday.